This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And as always, it's so good to have you back with us again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science. Nanotechnology, open innovation. Today we've got a very interesting show. Delilah Murgerby, she is with the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. She's director of the Research Center for Computer, Machine, and Human Intelligence Networking and Distributed Systems. And she's going to be speaking at the IEEE Homeland Security Technology Conference on residue analysis and aerial imagery surveillance. Yeah, hidden messages in images. And this is really pretty fascinating stuff. It's right, right on the breaking science is what it is. And of course, at the Homeland Security Technology Conference coming up pretty soon, it's going to be at April 25th and 26th. Get this right here at the Westin Hotel. That's in Waltham, Massachusetts, which of course is Boston. Famous and historic international conference on Homeland Security technology gaps. And keynote speaker this year is Kay Goss, president of World Disaster Management, and Melissa Flagg, lately of the Department of Defense. And during this program, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and of course at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's get to our guest. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We have Delilah Murgerby. She's with the Department of Electrical and Computer Engineering at the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. She also founded and is director of the Research Center for Computer, Machine, Human Intelligence, Networking, and Distributed Systems. And welcome to the program, Delilah.
Thank you for having me.
You've got a couple of papers that have been accepted for the Homeland Security Technology Conference. You're going to be speaking. That's going to be held April 25th and 26th in Boston. Our listeners can find out more about that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of the screen is a link to that conference website. But in the meantime, Delilah, give us kind of a preview. One of the papers has to do with cybersecurity and hidden encryption or something like that. Can you give us an explanation?
Yes. One of the two papers that we'll be presenting at the conference deals with information hiding. By the way, information hiding is a way by which you can hide images within images that will be transparent to a normal individual looking at the images electronically, but in reality will contain very important hidden information.
Ooh, kind of encryption, I guess, huh? An encryption thing?
No, actually it's showing why encryption cannot work. And of course, encryption, in addition to other things, can work very well. But I will give an example where, for example, encrypting a message cannot be the only way to make sure that nobody can hack into the message. For example, we know that every message that is going to go through the Internet is going to be made of ones and zeros. So even if it's encrypted, it's still going to be in terms of ones and zeros in binary. But anybody can add randomly bits to the message. What this is going to do, of course, the individual hacker would not be able to get anything from the message, but the receiving individual will not be able to receive the message, to decrypt it, to read it. So it's very important, in addition to anything else that we are doing these days, because there's a lot that still needs to be done, we are showing how we can authenticate the actual image. Why we use images is because you can hide a lot of information in images. So the difficulty here is, how can I hide more than one image within a single image, which I call carrier, and yet have it transparent so that people will not see there is something hidden. And then from the other end, at the receiving end, I want to be able to extract the hidden information and also authenticate, not only to detect tampering localization, and at the same time say whether nobody tampered with it. And one difficulty here is the main image, which I call carrier. Let's take any image and say I'm going to hide information in this so that the receiving end will know exactly what to extract. That image does not have to be known, the carrier image. And that makes it a little bit difficult, because usually most technologies, you have to have a reference to compare it to so that you can say somebody tampered with it. But how about if you don't have a reference? What do you do? And that's what the paper is about. But more importantly, we are also tackling the amount of information that we can hide while still maintaining the transparency of the carrier so that nobody can detect anything is in the image digitally or at the naked eye. So we show here how we can have redundant information so that even if somebody crops, a hacker will be there, unauthorized, try to just destroy, make sure that nothing is received on the other end. So to be able to deal with that, we show how we can use redundancy, so which means more images per carrier, and how can we do that while keeping it transparent and blind. Blind means you don't have the carrier at the other end. So that's what the paper is about. And by the way, we could show that we could hide 8 full images in one single image.
8 full images in a single image. Now let me try to visualize this, because this is radio, and I presume you're going to have some visuals to show when you do your talk at the conference. But I could imagine then that I would send you, let's say, a landscape, a picture of Texas, of bluebonnets, or whatever. And hidden in that particular image is as many as 8 other images. Could be a knife or something, or some sort of an incriminating car license plate, or something of that's hidden in this. And the average person would look at it and see Texas bluebonnets, but really there is a whole bunch of other images that I want to get across to you that have nothing to do with the bluebonnets. And then you are notified by me of somehow where these images are, and you can drill down to them and find them somewhere in that image. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes and no. Yes, in the sense the receiving end will extract all these 8 images, but no, I don't have to tell the receiving end where they are. The algorithm is existing, so the receiving end automatically will know from where to extract the information to authenticate, to say nobody tampered with this, and here is the hidden information that I need to see and process with it and do whatever I need to do with it.
And you said that even if it's intercepted and cropped, it will notify then the sender and the receiving person that it's been tampered with, or can they then still retrieve the important images within the body of the image?
Yes. Even if it's cropped, the system will do the best it can to be able to retrieve the entire original message, because we have redundancy.
Mm-hmm.
And even if most of the image is cropped, we show in this paper how we can still salvage the best we can what is left and still extract.
Okay, so who's going to use this tool? Is this something that the general public is going to be able to use to send hidden messages to one another, or is this something that really is going to be used in the intelligence community?
It can be used by any party, because civilians too. I mean, sometimes I want to have private information I want to send to my mom, my grandmother. I don't want anybody to get their hands on it, especially with what's going on with the internet. But the intelligence is what this is for. Sometimes you don't have to have an actual image that you want to hide by message. So this is applicable to images because you have a large amount of information that you can hide in there. But you can imagine any, even text, even signals, audios, anything that I want to transmit that I don't want any third party, an authorized party, to get their hands on.
Well, then, this is going to be what? An image generator of some sort. In other words, I presume you'd input whatever general image that you wanted, like the Texas bluebonnets, but then somehow or other you would input child pornography or whatever else you want to put into it that is hidden within this general image, and somehow this particular tool will do the insertion and will mask all the things that you want hidden. Is that correct?
Unfortunately, when you are talking about hidden images, the main focus is on to make sure that no unauthorized party will have access to it. So you cannot, if you cannot have access to it, that means you don't know what's in it. So the party receiving and the party sending will use this in the sense that the information is hidden. But from the intelligence point of view, which is much more important to us for this homeland security, of course, that's the last problem, is to be able to detect what type of information is in it. What is important is to make sure that nobody else has access to it. And of course, intelligence information is not going to be any of those types. But you asked me the question about whether civilians can use it. Well, if I have an information hiding scheme whereby I wanted to keep it private, it will be private. If I wanted to detect other things that people hide, then there will be more intelligence on top of it, which is going to be a little bit more complex, because you don't want, on one hand, any individual third party non-authorized to get access to it, but on the other hand, you also want to be able to have the flexibility to hide any information. So the main application here is not necessarily to detect whether the information hidden is type A and B and C. The main idea here is to be able to show, no matter what we are using, cryptography or else, people can still insert additional information that will be precluding the receiving end to extract it. So we're talking about authentication in addition to any existing system today in cybersecurity.
So this is a graphics tool, then, that would take a regular image and somehow manipulate the hidden images into the regular image using this graphics tool, and it wouldn't take any kind of real special training, because you said a normal person like me could do it. It wouldn't necessarily have to be in the intelligence community. I'm trying to picture how this works.
Yes. Actually, when I say any individual can use it, doesn't mean you can do it. The way we embed the information, it's a whole process, a whole algorithm. You don't hide, for example, the information directly within the intensities. So there is a coding part that will take place. I'm not taking 8 images and adding them one on top of each other and add them to the image.
Okay.
There is a lot of image processing that takes place. There is a lot of coding that takes place. There is a lot of information technology going on. And then from the cropping point of view, there is a lot of analysis that we show in this paper in terms of how can you detect that something has been tampered with and where in the image it has been tampered with. So from the point of view of what type of information you can hide, I will say any information, whether it's in the form of an image, or it's in the form of a signal, an audio, a video, any type of a signal can be hidden within an image. So the bigger field of steganography is basically hiding information within an image. And to keep it technically very accessible to any reader interested in this, basically it's almost like you take a transform. Let's pick one hidden image, one image that I want to hide. We're not just hiding the image, cropping it, and adding in. We are going to extract from that image some characteristics, like, for example, the moments, DCTs. There are different transforms that we can use that are much more compact. And then we'll try to hide those moments in some areas of the carrier image, which is the main image that everybody will see and will not detect that there is something inside. We will hide them into the moments, for example, of some areas of the image. The issue with doing that is the capacity. When you are doing this type of information hiding schemes, you have several problems. Challenges. One is the capacity. The more images you put in, the less transparent the carrier is going to be. Mm-hmm. So that's a technological issue.
Yeah.
The second issue is cropping. In other words, if anybody crops an image, not knowing whether the image is going to have important information or not inside, then if the information is cropped, that means you lose it. So here's when we talk about redundancy. The reason why I said eight, in other words, how can I use redundancy with an already challenging problem? Hiding images within an image and make it transparent is alone a challenge. So the main applicability of this type of work is, for example, what we call electronic signature, what we call watermark. In other words, I am a bank and I'm sending something to another bank. And the other bank wants to know whether this is a legitimate signal, that I'm image. Then I can extract the information from it, which is the watermark. And this is how I know it's legitimate, coming from my end. That's the type of application this is meant for. Of course, in any technology, and I do agree with you, there is always this concept of how about if the information hidden is not something we should allow. But unfortunately, when you are trying to solve one problem, you assume that the technology is going to be in the hands of the right people to solve that particular problem before trying to solve the other problems that are peripheral, if you want, to it. If I can have a technology that will allow me to do authentication, localizations of tampering, and redundancy, full recovery, even with cropping, I will be happy.
Well, isn't this going to be really a wonderful tool for the underworld, because, you know, I mentioned child pornography a little while ago. I mean, there's whole networks that that distribute and trade child pornography, but it's illegal, at least it is in the United States, and that could be hard to detect and determine. Isn't that the case? I mean, how could you keep the criminal activity abated with this and through discovery if the images can be hidden so well?
It is one issue that is the same issue in cybersecurity attacks. You never know where it's coming from, right?
Yeah.
We are talking about a way to find a system that will allow me to hide information in case I have to. And in many applications, not just military applications, you can see directly the importance of doing something like this. But for many years, people have been trying to work on what they call steganography or digital watermarking. In other words, how do I have a fingerprint inside the image so that I know it's authentic? People can tamper with images from 100 years ago, or less than 100 years ago, of course, there was no camera at that time. But they can still tamper with it and have the head of a president replacing the body of somebody else. Mm. This is not what we are talking about. What we are talking about is much more information that will allow us to make sure that it's authentic. In other words, even if anybody is going to hack or change that particular image, or change, for example, a dollar sign, or change, for example, the makeup of the image, that's going to be the issue we're tackling with. The other issue we're tackling here is the carrier image. This is for mainly intelligence, information intelligence. The carrier that we are using, we actually, as a security issue, we don't use existing images. Why? Because if I am a hacker and I want to see whether there are images passing through that can maybe have hidden information. I do not know how to extract that information, but my goal is to be able to do that, to try to hack, to use all different ways people use to hack and extract the secret image, which I call the secret image. So the idea here is to make sure that the carrier image is a non-existing image. In other words, the technology that we are talking about here is going to be in such a way that every time I need to send new hidden information, the image I'm going to create is on the spot, which is not public.
Okay.
Why? Because the scheme does not require that non-public image to be on the other end. And why it's non-public? Because people will not recognize it. So we not focus on it. We not try to hack it. That's all. But hidden information could be any type of information, and we don't want all the negative parts coming from, how about if I hide information and somebody, not good information, and somebody else can receive it. And fortunately, you cannot discern at this point in time what type of information, because the whole idea is to make sure nobody can get into the hidden information. And that's meant for really intelligence.
We're going to really be finding this incredibly interesting and looking forward to hearing your talk about this at the Homeland Security Technology Conference that's coming up in April. And you're also going to be talking about residue analysis and aerial imagery surveillance. Can you give us kind of a brief overview on that?
Yes. Basically, what we are talking about here, it's not cybersecurity, but it's border surveillance. Any airborne vehicle has a limited view of what you can actually can have surveillance on.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are talking about homeland security, we have hundreds of miles, sometimes more, to have surveillance on. So what we are talking about here is a way to stitch, if one can call it, different images to have a much bigger view. In other words, one single sensor will have a certain view. And now what happens if the airborne vehicle will have successive views of the environment, and you want to align all these different images so that you can have a much bigger view? Sometimes looking at a house with the field around it, you might not see anything. But sometimes there is a little bit of information there that could be a hidden body. So looking at the much bigger picture is going to make me do better situational awareness. So we talk about residue because sometimes to be able to do this type of work, you need to align different images that have some kind of overlapping information within them. And to be able to see how good your stitching, if you will, how to put those images together to have a bigger picture, you need to have what we call a residue analysis. What is the smallest information that is going to be detected, if you will, to make sure that the landmarks are really aligned so that I have a bigger picture mm-hmm. of what I'm looking at.
Wow.
And we are also tackling the hyperspectral.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Catherine Graham, it is better to be a bad manager of a good business than a good manager of a bad business.